Deputy, that was awesome. As you can see, Carol's not here today. He's unfortunately with other people to the women's conference in Swakop. And he asked me to do the sermon today, which I'm very privileged to stand here and to share the word of God with you. So yes, so they'll be there this weekend sharing some time, especially the ladies going there for some ministry with Lucille May. And Pastor Fred May was also there, so Carl said that they want to spend some time with them and just fellowship and just be with them. So, yes, I just wanted to thank all of you for being here, especially some friends of mine. I just wanted to welcome you guys. They say iron sharpens iron, and the guys that you see at the back is the iron against which I sharpened myself from school years. We've been friends a very long time. And I just invited them just to honor them and say thank you for being there for me all the while back and just helping me to be the person I am today. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Oh, Father God, we just want to come this morning, Lord, and just worship you, Father. Just worship you for who you are, Lord. Just to know you, Lord. Just to spend time with you, Father. To be in your house, to be in your presence. Just to feel your hand touching us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our hearts, Lord, that you can minister unto us, Lord. And to ask that you will be, your words will be on my lips, Father. That your thoughts will be my thoughts, Father. And your heart will be my heart, Lord. I ask that you will just use me as your instrument, Lord God, to open up the word and to bring healing to people that need it here today, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. And every opportunity for everybody here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to start off with I actually want to share with you the heart of Jesus and the topic that I think is on my is pursuing healing. And that is exactly why we are here today. Because we are new creations in Christ. And God wants to heal us. And it might sound difficult to understand now, but later on it will make more sense to you. And I just wanted to share this heart of Jesus with you. And it's best explained in the book of Isaiah that the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61 verse 1. And the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison for those who are bound. Now, as I just said, we are a new creation in Christ. And that is why we can sit here today. Or if you're not a new creation, you're sitting here, it's great, you came to the right place today. And we see this explained in 2 Corinthians, Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is one of the most powerful and profound truth in the Word of God, that anybody can come to God wanting to have a new life, wanting to experience new life. And you can come to God and say, God, here I am. I want to know you. I repent of who I was and what I've done. And I want to be with you. And just how amazing God is that He opened up His arms like we just sang it. That before we ask for forgiveness, He also is already hugging us. And that's His heart today, that He wants to embrace us before we even made our hearts right with Him. And that's just such an awesome privilege to be here, to stand and just hear what God wants to say to us. But there's one simple truth that remains true for every one of us before we are renewed. We've all fallen short of the mark that God has set for us. We all have made mistakes. And we read that in Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Which means that before we can actually do anything, we sin. We are sinners. And we come to God, and He comes to us not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because He loved us first. And He wants to know us. And He wants to save us. And that's just what Jesus is such a powerful testimony of for us in our lives. But there's one mistake we often make as Christians. It's that you come now into this new life and you think, yes, Lord, it's amazing to know you. It's amazing to know you. And you just have that newness in your spirit. You feel that awesomeness of God even if it's for the new time, or if you sit at church for a long while, and you come to that realization of who God really is. He wants to know you, He wants to be with you, He wants to hold your hand. And then we as Christians make that mistake, I'm a new man, I'm a new woman. And then you think, I'm perfect. And yes, you are perfect in Christ. But you are not perfect once you are renewed in Jesus Christ. Because so many times, we've done something in the past, we've been hurt in the past, and then we come to God, and we are a new creation in Him. But then God allows us, when we step back, because when in that new relationship with Him, we're just so totally focused on God. It's all about God. That's all what we want. And then you just step back, and God allows you to step back and look at yourself again. And then it's like, oh my word. That thing that happened 10 years ago, it's still there. Lord, but you said I'm a new creation. How can this be? And God just comes and says, listen, yes, you are a new creation, but you're not made perfect yet. I want to restore you. And this is a process, and this is so clearly see, as we can clearly see in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 2. And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive. Indeed, neither are you now yet able. And that's just something that we forget so often. Our new lives, we are a new creation in Christ, but we're still in the process of being renewed. Every day being made alive, every day being renewed in strength and power, and growing in maturity, because God takes us from spiritual babies that we need to feed with. Well, I'm a newly father now, and I've been through that process of raising babies. It is tough. It is not easy. But it's also precious. And that's why so many new Christians, it's such an important time in their lives, because you need to feed them. You need to feed them properly. You need to give them the right thing at the right time. Otherwise, they just grow weak. And so that's so important for God, for us as baby Christians to grow to adult Christians, where we can receive Jesus Christ by grace and be stewards of what He has prepared for us already. Now, being renewed in God and being a new creation does not indemnify you of pain, suffering, and hurt. And that is so clearly stated by Jesus Himself in John 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Now you might ask, where does suffering and pain and hurt comes into this? But clearly, if somebody hates you, they don't intend for you to have a good life. They want to make it as bad as possible for you. They hate you. They want to destroy you. And unfortunately, we live in a fallen world that has not received God, that does not acknowledge God as King and Creator of this world. We've just so clearly seen in evolution how prevalent evolution has become. And that is one of the basic hammers, I say, of this world that wants to break down God in our hearts. Because if they can break down that foundation, your whole foundation as a Christian is shaken and can be broken very easily, because it's very brittle. Without that solid foundation of creation, God created us unique, specific, on purpose. You're here with a purpose, a unique gifting that only you have and only you can fulfill on this earth. And it's something that we have to understand. But there's quite a few men of the Old Testament that experienced this as well. And one of the men that stood out for me that I wanted to share with you is Joseph. For there's no other man, not no other man, but just that God laid on my heart. And I'm just going to sum up his life in a short segment, but you can go and read it in the Old Testament, because it really is an amazing piece of scripture to go and read and see how God used Joseph, how He wanted to use him, but he needed to prepare his heart as well. Now, well, everything went well for Joseph, but he got a bit of a big head on him, and his brothers basically got jealous of him, because he's got all the giftings, he's got the love of the father. His father was basically giving him gifts and not giving anything to the older brothers. So they got jealous of him, and they basically beat him up a bit, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery to other guys, and he was basically cameled off to Egypt. And there, basically, he got some bit of, what shall I say, he got some bit of his life back, because as a slave he was acknowledged and God was with him and God really allowed him to work. But then all of a sudden God just pulls the mat out from under him, and he's being accused of a crime that he did not commit. He was actually standing on his faith and the word of God in his heart. But that does not matter, because he was thrown to jail because he was accused of a crime that he could not say, I did not do it. But he knew in his heart he was right. And that is something that we have to understand as Christians. Life will happen. And it's not a picnic that we are in here. Life is hard. Some things in your past cannot be changed. It will not be turned around. God can change your heart to accept those circumstances and change your heart and how you think about it, which is in my life I can testify 100 times over. Many things that happened in my life, but I look back now, yes Lord, why did you allow that to happen in my life? How? It's amazing that I can stand here. And you think, yes Lord, it's amazing that I can stand here. It's because of your grace that I'm standing here. It's not because I lived a good life and I was perfect. And we as Christians so often forget that we are not perfect. And we hold forth this image of perfect Christians. Yes, I'm a perfect Christian. I go to intercession. I read my Bible every day. I do this, I do that. And it's great to do those things. But if you hold those things to God and say, God, I'm this because I do that, then you're missing the mark completely. Because what you have and what you are is by grace alone. And nothing that you've done. Absolutely nothing. Now forgiveness, for me, is what this sermon is all about. Because healing can only start in your life as a new Christian, as a new creation from your past, and things that even happens today while you are a Christian, we still sin. I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I'm born and reborn, but I still have sin in my life. Maybe you don't, and you can come and preach next Sunday. But I need God every day, every second of my life, because I know what He's done for me, and I need it maybe more than you do. But Joseph had a special gift, I think, because he had a lot of hurt. He had a lot of physical and mental suffering and pain that he went through in his life, in this process that he went through with his brothers. But he had an anointing on his life. God blessed him immensely, because he already had dreams and things that he shared with his family, and his family couldn't understand. And I think his own heart was so a bit deceived, because he was thinking of himself as, yes, I'm the man, I can do this, and you must go and bow down before me, and this is my dreams from God. And I think he got a bit prideful, and God said, but I can't use you like this. I need to change your heart. You can't save this nation. You can't save Israel. How can you do this with this heart, this attitude? And I think that's what happened to him, because he had a wrong heart. But he was in the right place, because then he realized what he has is of God, not of himself. And it's something that he purposed in his heart, to forgive all the afflictions that he suffered. And I think that's the one thing in his heart that was there, but he just never knew it until all these things happened to him. And then God said to him, yes, now I can use you. Now you've got the right attitude, because now you are forgiving those afflictions that you've suffered. Now you are able to go where I want to send you. And then God used him powerfully. I mean, you can just go and read it. He basically saved Israel from sure salvation. The whole of Egypt, all of the Middle East, the whole of the Northern Africa, because of the dream that he was able to decipher for Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh appointed him as head of second in charge of Egypt. And they were able to build up storehouses over 7 years before the great famine came. And everyone suffered. But everyone was, I would say, survived because of the storehouses that was built up in Egypt. And Joseph was at the forefront of that. One of the things that, now you ask, why forgiveness? Why Joseph? Where do you get that connection? I want to read for you from Genesis 44, verse 32. And then 45, from verses 1 to 5. Now this is a place where Joseph basically, what I think he saw his brothers for the first time. And you can already see that his heart has already changed. Because if he was in the world and his mind was in the world, when he saw his brothers, he would have killed them. He had the authority, he had the power, and he could have done it without anybody thinking twice about it. But he didn't. But I think he had a reaction, because these guys are the guys that sold me into slavery and threw me in a pit and all of these bad things that happened to me, and now I'm in a place of authority and now I can get them back. But I don't think that what it was. It was just, so do I sell this food to them and let them just go? Or, and he says, no, I accuse you of spies. And he keeps them in jail for 3 days, and then he tries to find out what happened to his family, what's going on, what is his father still alive, where's Benjamin? And I think his purpose, he already forgave them for what they did in his heart, because he knew where he was now. And then God just said, okay, you go and see. Because that's so often what happens in our lives. We get hurt by people. We lose trust in people. And this is exactly what happened to Joseph. He got hurt, he forgave them, but he didn't trust him. That's what I believe. As I read these scriptures and how God revealed it to me, but he wanted to test them and see, okay, where's Benjamin? Do they have the same attitude towards Benjamin that they have towards me, or that they had towards me? I need to see this. So he devised a plan to get Benjamin to Egypt. And I think in his mind, he wanted to keep Benjamin in Egypt. If they had the same attitude, I mean, they just sold him off. It seemed like they didn't care about him. And then he said, okay, let's see what happens. I want Benjamin then with me, if this is the attitude that they had towards me. And this is how I interpret it. Now, people might differ from me, but this is just what I felt God wanted me to share with you. So let's just read from verses 44, Genesis 44, verses 32 to 34, and then 45, verses 1 to 5. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Now, this is Judah saying, because he basically forced his father to send Benjamin so that they could buy food from Egypt. And now he was saying this of Benjamin, that he would stand in his place. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if this boy is not with me? I see the evil that would find my father. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard it, and the household of the Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. His father's still alive. But his brothers would not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near me. Come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Now this, do not distress or be angry with yourselves. It's a very nice picture of forgiveness. When you can speak to someone, listen, I forgive you. But yet also, he now sees their hearts has changed. And his heart towards them can now change. And now he can build a trust relationship with them. He can start to rebuild the relationship that he never had with them. Because he could see true repentance in their manner. And they would not give up on that. Now Jesus Christ is our perfect example. Because he forgave us first. And whatever we have is because of his forgiveness that we can say is ours. We can read from Colossians 3 verse 13. Bearing one another and forgiving ourselves, if anyone should have a complaint against any, just as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. For Jesus did this over and over and over again in his life. If you go and read his story, you can go and listen how he spoke, how he spoke to people. And many times it was forgiveness, forgiveness, I forgive you. And then it was just a place where he could speak of, because he had that authority, he had that heart, he could do it. And he did not even doubt it. But one of the most profound places where he made this statement was on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his remnant and cast lots. And this was basically when Jesus hung on the cross. And they basically drew lots to see who would get his robe and his clothes. And you cannot ask somebody else to forgive someone if you yourself have not forgiven them first. It is impossible. You cannot do that. But he is such a powerful example. He's in pain. He's in agony. And he's hanging there and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such a powerful statement. You will be difficult to find in this world. And God's grace starts at forgiveness, because that grace that we receive, we do not deserve it. It just comes to us. And that forgiveness you can never take for granted. Let's just read from Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. After blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." So whenever we make use of this, it's such a testimony to God's forgiveness for us. But what does it mean to forgive? What is Jesus' heart about forgiveness? And we read that from Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. Then Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times seven? Or as many as seven times?" Now Peter here is being a bit arrogant, saying, "Yes, I'm the man. I will forgive my brother seven times." And then Jesus comes again and he rips that rug out from under him and says, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now I don't know exactly how much that is, but it was an immense lot. It was like millions and millions in today's terms. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children on all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' And so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you.' He refused, and he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Now this is very, very hard. Because basically, and it's repeated everywhere in the Word of God, if you do not forgive your brother, God cannot forgive you. God cannot speak you free. And he has to take you in a place, basically, where your sins, or the sins that you commit now, are not forgiven. Because it stands somewhere in his Word, I can't remember the verse, that your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And that's a promise from God. So as soon as the sin is forgiven, it is gone. It is never, you are never reminded of it. You never have to pay anything or bear anything on it. But if God comes to you and says, "But listen, you have unforgiveness in your heart, so I can't forgive you," that is a really hard truth for us to accept. And we have to say, "But just what happened, Lord? Can't we speak about this?" And most of the time we experience this in our lives when we pray and God's not there. We pray for something, breakthrough in a certain area in our lives, and nothing is happening. It's dead. And we ask God, Where are you, God? What happened? Why aren't you responding? Why aren't you answering my prayers?" And the question is, could it be that you might need to forgive someone or something? Now, this is an example that God laid on my heart, and he reminded me on this board game. Just the next slide, Jackson. The next slide. Okay. Now this is something that God reminded me of. Now I'm not saying go play snakes and ladders. It's actually a very Hindu, it's come from a Hindu background where you have to attain perfection at number 100. And we Christians have adopted it to some degree. And you'll see how the snakes basically represent sin in your life, and good deeds represent your ladder, and you're approaching the mark. And I don't like that. But I like the concept of the snakes. Because in John 10 verse 10 it says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus comes to give life and give it more abundantly. Now what God reminded me of is that your life as a Christian is basically made of these blocks. And there are these snakes in there, which can be sin, and mostly can be unforgiveness in your heart. Because that unforgiveness, you can go on in life, you can go from one block 10 to block 15, but you have unforgiveness in your heart. These snakes, like they are there now, they basically are static. They will not move anywhere. But in your life, unforgiveness is like a snake that grows. So if you move past block 10, they're already in block 20 waiting for you. And at some stage, you will come face to face with that unforgiveness in your heart. And God will remind you of that unforgiveness, because He can't use you if your heart is like that. He can't take you from glory to glory if you are unwilling to forgive your brother that has maybe stolen something from you or has held something against you. And that was such a powerful thing for me to understand. This is, yes, God, how much unforgiveness in my heart do I still have? Is there still something? And we are so often reminded that you have to forgive immediately, as quickly as possible. And that we see in Luke 17 verse 1. You have to purpose in your heart to forgive someone. And He said to His disciples, temptation to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone be hung around his neck and he were cast in the sea, and that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, return to you 7 times saying, I repent, I must forgive him. Now this is such a powerful testimony of God's love towards us, because He cannot tell us to do this if He Himself does not do it. If you go and sin 7 times a day and you go with a true heart, true repentance, go to God, so, God, I'm sorry for doing this, He will forgive you. He said it in His Word. It stands there dead, clear as daylight. But He expects the same of you. We have to purpose in our heart to forgive those who hurt us, who wound us, immediately, as quickly as possible. Not for their sake necessarily, but for our sake, your sake. Because it is in your heart. If you carry that unforgiveness in your heart, it becomes like a poison. And it slowly dissolves your love and your heart, in your heart for Jesus Christ. And you can become bitter and harden your heart, and then God can't use you. He can't take you from a place from glory to glory to glory. And that is what God intended. And He knows there's hardness in your heart. And He knows you've suffered in your life. He knows this. There's no one on this earth that suffered more than He did on the cross, because He did not deserve it. We that deserve it sometimes get offended because we do suffer. And how can we look at Jesus and say, no, this is not for me. I'm not supposed to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. This is not Jesus' heart. This is not what He wants us to do. He's lived it. He showed us how. And He knows the power of it. Because He knows that power we need to be healed. 100% fully clean. White clean. Nothing at the back. There's nothing holding you back. No chains. You walk in and ka-ching, you've got this chain around your ankle. Where did this come from? Oh, okay. It's unforgiveness there. In Jesus' name, be gone. Done. Forgiven. Done. Not a hindrance to you anymore. You might still remember it. You still might need to go and build trust with that person or whatever happened in the past. But you forgive them first, no matter what their side of the story is. And this is a picture that I just drew. It's actually been a bit, came over wrong now. And I hope you can see. But basically the centers of it is where we get hurt. Where we basically suffer. Whether we are a new creation in Jesus Christ or we suffered a long while back, but we still carry those scars within our hearts today. And most of it can be brought about or came about by two things. Ourselves, sin in our lives, bad choices we've made, or other people in our lives that hurt us to our core that we can't even speak of it because it hurts so much. Now, these are two hurts that you basically have to, that you have to allow God to show you how to handle this, how to deal with it. And basically the sin, your own sin, is almost the easiest, I would say. Because God is standing there, he's waiting for you to say, before you can say, I'm sorry, he's already hugging you, holding you tight to his chest, and say, yes, I love you. I would die on the cross for you. Even if you were the last person on this earth to receive this, I would die for you. And that's why I would say that it's so easy to receive this, because it's God. He did it already. It started 2,000 years later, and we're still standing here proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. And it's only through him that we can stand here today. But it requires repentance. You need to come to God and say, listen, God, I'm sorry I missed your mark. I'm sorry I missed all the love that you gave for me, and I missed it. But I'm here, I want to say I'm sorry. And God takes you out of that mud, out of that place that you couldn't have picked yourself up from, and he sets you on a pedestal and says, this is my child, whom I love and who I love dearly. I would die for him anytime, any day. But now that's the example. Now comes the hard part, because God did it already. So, and now he says, now it's your turn. And it's like, okay, Lord, yes, my father hurt me immensely when I was very, very small. How? And you want me to forgive him, but he's not even sorry. He doesn't even know that he hurt me. You have to forgive him no matter what their repentance is. Whether they repent to you or not, you have to forgive them. Because you have to free your own heart from that hardness, from being in a place where the devil can say, ooh, remember that place where your father hurt you? Ooh, you think you still love a loving God? You allow that to happen to you? And he breaks you down. Breaks you down, pulls you down. And that's the devil. It's the father of lies. And this is one of the things that shocked me the most. And I realized, yes, Lord, I missed this one so profoundly. The people we need to forgive is not the enemy. It's the sin in their lives, what they did to us, that we need to forgive. And with that comes, yes, we need to forgive the person. But we must not blame the person. Because think about it. What if God had to use you, had to forgive you and not your sin? We would have been utterly destroyed without grace, nothing. There was nothing that we could have done or would have happened to save us. Because we are not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. The devil is the enemy that works in us, the lies, the deceit. And he takes us and says, you are not the one that I'm fighting against. I love you and I want to save you. I know my enemy. He stands there in the dark laughing, trying to pull my people away from me. And if our attitude is, yes, he hurt me, I don't like him, I want to hate him for the rest of my life, what does that say about you? What does that say about Jesus in you? Must he do the same to you? And we will be utterly destroyed if we take that and say that. It would destroy us. Thank heavens for God that loves us. Let's just read 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who gave to us the ministry of this reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning their transgressions to them, or committing to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we serve as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were appealing through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become righteousness of God in him. Now, if you do not understand that, I will read it to you 100 times if I need to. But I don't have the time. So I will ask you to go and read it at home 100 times if you need to understand this. Because I am imploring you on Christ's behalf to reconcile yourselves to God. Take your hearts before God and ask, Lord, where is there still unforgiveness? Where is there still healing that is required? and show it to me so that I can forgive immediately like you have already forgiven me. And we could do nothing except through Jesus Christ, who by grace alone we are standing here and can receive this forgiveness. And He is the key to our salvation and healing. Can we just pray quickly? Oh, Father God, we just come this morning, Lord, and just say, Lord, we're guilty, Father. We do not understand your forgiveness 100%, Lord God. And we need to understand it, Lord God. We need you to show us, Lord, how to be able to forgive like you forgave us, Lord God. To follow in your footsteps, Lord. To follow your example to the letter. To be there. Just to be free of our past, Lord. To be free of sin, Lord. To be free of the enemy that is trying to pull us down into this mud. Trying to break our souls and our spirits. That we ask, who is God? Who is this God? Where is His love? But your life, Lord, is a testimony. Your death is a testimony unimaginable, Lord God. And we hold to that testimony, Lord God. We hold to that history that is given to us, Father, through your word, Lord. For the word became flesh, Lord. And you are the flesh, Lord, that breaks the yoke, Lord God, of the enemy, Lord. That frees your people, Lord, to live from glory to glory. To live life and live it abundantly. And Lord, I pray for that life of abundance, Lord, to flow from this house, Lord, to flow from these people's hearts, Lord, that they can experience it and live it out and take it to the world and hold it before them as a testimony of your grace and your love and your greatness, Lord God. And Lord, we just come and say that we love you, Lord, and it's all about you, Lord God. We cannot stand here on our own, Father. We cannot say that I did this and this and here I am. Where I am today, it's because of what you've done in our hearts, Lord. It's what you've done in our lives, Lord, that we can say, you're an awesome God and we want to serve you. Can I just ask everybody to stand, please, and close your eyes. There's just a few people that I would like to come to the front. And just to let God minister into your hearts today. And we would like to pray for you specifically on this area. So if you were sitting here today, and while I was teaching, God laid something on your heart. You reminded of something so profound in the back of your mind, in your heart, that you almost feel like, yes, Lord, that I don't want to be reminded of that, Lord. I just let it go away. That's specifically for you. I just want you to come to the front and let us pray for you. I just want you to raise your hand now. And just acknowledgement to God and say, Lord, that's me. Lord, I've suffered that. I want to be free of that, Lord God. I want to let go, Father. I don't want the enemy to hold that chain around me, Lord, to pull me back. Every time I think I'm getting on with life, it just pulls me back. So if that's you, just please raise your hand. Okay, next I would like to just persons or people that are really struggling with forgiveness in their life. You struggle to forgive others like Christ has forgiven you. It does not come easily. It's just like, yes, Lord, I just don't feel like that now. It's just, and if that's you, you're really struggling with that, just please raise your hand as well. Thank you. Okay, then the last one is basically the most important one. If you have never renewed your life in Christ, you have never experienced this freedom, this joy of being forgiven, everything that you are, everything that you long for, to be a new person, to experience that newness in Christ. You've never done that. You've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If that is you, please raise your hand. We would really like to pray for you as well. Okay, then all the people that raised their hands, can you please come to the front? We would really love to pray for you now. Just come forward, just where from where you are. Come to the front and we will pray for you. For everybody else, if thank you that you've been here. It was a privilege to have you here, and I hope God was able to use me in your lives. And I pray that you will have a blessed week this week, and that you're able to forgive as quickly as Jesus forgave you. There's some refreshments at the back, so please just don't run off. We would like to speak with you and just spend some time with you. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your week. Amen.